Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for the good success already in Vacation Bible School. I see that every night, I think the attendance has continued to grow, and children are seeming to get into it. I know the adults are getting into it, and so that's a blessing as well. First time for the evening Vacation Bible School. So let some of the staff know if you have opinion, if it's more of a blessing to you to have it in the PM than the AM. Let some of the staff know. We'll be evaluating everything at the end of this Vacation Bible School to determine what we'll be doing next year. And so we do want to hear back some feedback of how things have gone this week. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 10. Mark in chapter 10. I'm limited on time tonight. Isn't that something? And so I'm on a time schedule here. I've got to stay with the program, amen? So I'll do that. I'll do that to the best of my abilities tonight. I'm going to preach within my allowed time slot and trust it'll be exactly what the Lord has for us this evening. Mark chapter 10. Now, normally, if you come back next Wednesday night, we're in a series on the life of Noah. And gives us the Bible is such a great book. I mean, it's like no other book you ever read. It's what God has preserved for us. And so when you read the Bible, it is God speaking to us. And He's revealed everything about what we need to understand. Everything about eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. What man can understand and what we need to understand the most, God has revealed it to us in the Bible. And so it's God's preserved word for mankind. And so we have Bible studies. We want people to understand what the Bible says. And our motto here at the church, if you believe the Bible, then attend a church that teaches the Bible so that you can understand what the Bible has to say to us. And so we do that, whether it be Sunday morning Sunday school or Sunday morning worship or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Now, each service is designed a little bit different there for different needs, but we always teach and preach out of the Word of God. Wednesday night, our Bible study, we've been in the Bible characters and looking at the life of Noah. It describes everything about the flood, about the civilization that was on the earth before God destroyed the earth with the flood, and everything that goes along with that. And so so if you'd like to come back next week, then we'll be right back into our series on the life of Noah. But I believe with Vacation Bible School, I think this is the text that God would have us to preach from tonight. Mark chapter 10. Go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God out of honor and respect for the Word of God. As I read, you follow right along with me. We're going to be reading verse 13 down to verse 16. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to Him," to Jesus, "that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, and put His hands upon them, and blessed them." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before You tonight, thank You for everything we've already received by just being in church tonight. Thank You for the good results of Vacation Bible School up to this point. And we trust, God, that You will continue to do a work in each one of the children's lives throughout this week. And I pray tonight, God, as we look to You and look for a better understanding of this passage of Scripture, I pray that You'd help us, that You would use me once again to bring forth the message that You have for us through Thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was God who was manifested in the flesh. Jesus Himself was 100% God and 100% man, born of a virgin, but He was God's only begotten, one-of-a-kind Son. And He came to this earth to reveal God's will for humanity. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. Everything about the Old Testament was focused on the coming of the Messiah, the Christ child, which was Jesus Christ. When He came, then He came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and to establish a New Testament church age. Now, we've been in this New Testament church age for some 2,000 years. It will date all the way back to when Christ came. And Christ established His church while He was here. And we find that as He was going about during His public ministry, He was teaching about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, simply stated, is the ways of God. Everything about how God has established His kingdom, whether it be in heaven and earth, We find that he was teaching about the will of God, the ways of God, so that humanity would be able to understand a creator God and how what the purpose was for their existence. And so he was going about teaching and fulfilling the Old Testament and teaching about the kingdom of God as he was ushering in this New Testament church age. Well, as they were going about, he recognized, and of course he knew all things, and he had this event happen so that we could have it recorded in the Word of God. And so we find that the disciples were seeing parents or possibly others bringing children to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus was very busy as he was going about his public ministry. He was healing and he was teaching and preaching, and he had his 12 disciples. And so they were somewhat filtering who, as they could, who would be able to get to him and get close to him and that type of thing. And he noticed that they were rebuking those that were bringing children so that he could touch them. Children to be able to see the Messiah. And when we find when he saw this, and the Bible says in verse 13, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. They were rebuking others that wanted to bring the children to them. But when Jesus saw it, he says this, he was much displeased. Now his disciples had that thought that children were insignificant. They had their thoughts that, well, they couldn't really help the ministry. They were too young to really understand what it was all about, understand that he was the Messiah, that he was ushering in the New Testament. No matter what their reasoning was for rebuking those that wanted to bring the children to Jesus, they were not thinking correctly. And Jesus wanted to set it straight, and he wanted all people to understand the importance of children, that God loves little children. And God has a desire for little children to know him. God has a desire for little children to be raised according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to understand all about a creator God and understand all about how they can communicate with him through prayer. I'll tell you, some of the most powerful prayer that you're going to have praying for you is children's prayers. Amen. Children can pray like no one else can pray. Their minds are not messed up with everything else that they get in this world, and they have total dependency and total belief in that God can answer whatever they ask of him. What a tremendous blessing. We're going to see some of that in just a minute as well. But the Bible says that as they thought that children were insignificant, he was much, not just a little, but the Bible says that he was much displeased, very upset with the disciples. I can imagine the meeting that he might have had after that, and when they had the staff meeting together, you know, and they had to sit around and understand what was going on. Jesus addressed the staff, addressed the 12 apostles, and as he was much displeased with them. In verse 14 and 15, we find that he corrects his disciples, and then he makes a great statement, one that many kind of get confused by, but it's a great statement that we need to understand here tonight. In verse 14, he says, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, look right here, for of such is the kingdom of God. The ways of God are related somehow, some way to children. Everything about the ways of God, the will of God, how God works, it's related to children. Now, some would look at this, and it also gives a little bit of support for, we know that children, before they reach the age of accountability, are in God's grace and under God's protection, amen, they're his. And children who die under the age of accountability go immediately to be with the Lord in heaven, as so do those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he says, as such, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever, now that applies to everyone else. It applies to every adult, no matter what your age. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He shall not enter into eternal life. He shall not go to heaven, basically, is what the Bible is saying here. So we look at this and we wonder, is he saying that if we don't get saved when we're children, that it's an impossibility for an adult to get saved and go to heaven? And that would be wrong thinking. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And he was going around and telling the lost people, they was telling all people, God's plan for eternal life, what God's plan was for salvation. He came to seek and to save. He would reveal to them that he was the only way, the only truth, and the only life, the only way that anyone could get to eternal life, the only way that anyone could get to heaven was through him. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so Jesus was establishing God's plan of salvation from the very beginning of the Old Testament, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And then some 2,000 years ago, he came. And just a few days after this, actually, he would go to the cross of Calvary and he would lay down his life and he would become that sacrificial lamb. He would pay the sin debt for all humanity. And he would make a way for all to be able to come to know him and have everlasting life and go to the kingdom of God. So he is revealing that to them. Now, and then he picked up the children and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, blessed them. The message tonight is basically children are precious in God's eyes. Children are precious in God's eyes. As we study this, and we've just somewhat given you an understanding of it, the first thing I want to present to you tonight is God designed how children should come into this world. Now, God created all things. He could have designed it much differently. He could have designed the man to bear the children. Now, I think that would have went against every other design that he had for man, the patience and the everything else that we might go along there. But he did not. He designed how children would come into this world. In the book of Genesis in chapter 1, let me just read to you. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So he says, now I've designed you in a way that you can multiply. I've designed you in a way that you can replenish the earth. And once you do that and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we find here that God designed, first of all, a man. That design has not changed. The physical structure of a man today is exactly the way that God designed it when he created man. He created man with age. That thought that everyone wants to answer, they think it's so tough question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? If you know the Bible, you understand how foolish a question that is. Amen? God designed it and he created it, first one, with age. He created it to be able to multiply. So he created Adam, he created man with the very same design that man is born with today. He then, after designing and creating man with this thought in mind that there would be a multiplication, he created, designed woman. And he designed her out of the rib of Adam for a purpose. And we don't have time to go into all that. And then we find that God designed pregnancy. And I am very thankful that he designed woman to be able to carry the child for 9 months, amen? And to let that child develop inside of that woman. He then designed birth. I don't believe the original design was for woman to have as much pain as now that she has in giving birth. I think that's part of the penalty, the part of the curse of the sin that she has to deal with. And the Bible talks about that. We can't go into that tonight, but the idea there is he designed pregnancy and he designed birth, and then he designed with birth a need to be raised. Because outside of Adam and Eve, then every other human being that's ever been walked the face of the earth has had to be raised. They start out with just hardly no understanding of anything. They start out with the very same body, the very same brain, the very same function, but they have to grow now. They have to be taught. They have to be raised according to God's will for their lives. Now, from parents, He allows them to make up the physical makeup of the child. You look at some of these children, and I could probably go through and I say, yeah, I know who's your mommy and daddy, and I know who your mommy and daddy is because of what? Because of how they look. Sometimes how they walk, how they handle themselves. And, you know, just adults are just grown-up children, amen? And so some of the tendencies that you see in children, if you knew them when they were little, and I've been here for 30 years, and many of the adults are now having children, I'm laughing at them and say, that's what you were like just some 5 years ago or whatever it might have been. God designed that. But He also designed where the life would come from, where the eternal soul would come from, where that spirit, that eternal spirit that every child has. And the Bible very clearly says, and God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living soul. Adam, same way. Eve, same way. Every child. Somehow or another, God designed as that child is being formed inside of that mother's womb, God breathes into that mother's womb the breath of eternal life. And that child has an eternal spirit and an eternal soul based on God's design. Based on God's design. Based on His design, He says in Psalms chapter 127, and Psalms, let me just read it to you there, but Psalms 127 and verse 1 through 3 talks about the home. Now children are to be a blessing to the home. And when they are raised accordingly, they can be and will be a blessing to the home. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children. Now he says this about the home and everything about the home. And he says, now the children are an heritage of the Lord. That means they come from Him. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. So God wants children to be raised. And as they are raised according to the Word of God, they can be and will be a reward to that home. They will be a blessing to that family. With understanding God's design for children, now we go back to our text tonight and we find that children are precious to God. And from the testimony of a child, Christ reveals what it takes to be saved. Verse 14 and 15, as a little child. Not talking about age, but he's talking about how children come into this world. That child is dependent upon mom and dad. That child looks upon mom and dad, and whatever that mom and that mother and father teach that child has faith instilled to believe. They don't know if you're lying or not. They don't even know what a lie is. They just know what you're teaching them. Not only do they have faith to believe whatever it is that you will teach them as parents, they have trust to apply it. That child, when they're raised under the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they're looking to mom and dad, and they're being taught to honor mom and dad, God has instilled something within every child to have faith and trust within their parents. Now, parents that take advantage of that and become an offense to that child, God gives a warning to that parent. Be better for you to be taken a millstone, be cast about your neck, and be thrown into the deepest part of the waters. And it'll be even worse than that. But he says he warns that. if you offend one of these little ones. God loves children. And God wants every child to be raised according to His will for their life. He wants every home to be blessed by children. It's His design. He designed it. And when we carry out God's design, can I tell you, it is a blessing when you carry out God's design for marriage. And you carry on with God's design in raising children. You carry on with God's design for the church to be involved in helping the parents raise the children. What a blessing it is. So from the testimony of a child, Christ reveals what it takes to be saved. Faith to believe and trust to receive. Children, you can tell they believe when you teach them that there's a Santa Claus. If you told them and taught them that, they're expecting Santa Claus to come the night before Christmas. Amen. And they're looking forward to that present that they're going to get. They're looking forward to that milk and cookies to being gone the next day. And usually it is. They believe that because you tell them that. They believe in the tooth fairy because faith and trust. You tell me he's going to, I'm not, this tooth is worth some money. I'm not letting this thing get out of my sight. I want to make sure that you hold, where should I put it under my pillow and make sure it doesn't get lost under my pillow? Because I'm expecting there to be some money where this tooth was in the morning. Now, they have faith to believe that. Why? Because that's what you taught them, if you've taught them that. They have trust to believe that you say that he's going to leave some money and replace that tooth, there's going to be money there. Why? Because they have faith and trust. The Easter Bunny. Where babies come from. That's a good one, huh? Yeah. What have you taught on that subject? They'll believe whatever you tell them, whether you get it from the garden, the cabbage patch, or whatever. They'll believe what you... Why? Because they have faith and trust in mom and dad. Now, I brought those things up just to help you to understand that they have faith and trust. And God uses the testimony of a child, and he says, outside of a person, no matter how old you are, until you can come to that place in your life where you will have such faith in God and such trust in God, you can't be saved. So everyone that gets saved has to come to that place in their life where they believe what God says. And they trust if God said it, then it's true. Romans chapter 10. It's exactly true. And some parents might not exactly tell the truth. And you're going to have to face your child one day and let them know that you really didn't tell them quite the truth about where babies come from. Don't look forward to that. That's a tough one. But it's going to come. Amen. And you're going to sit down and have that conversation. But they just believe what you tell them. Be careful what you tell them. Because they're trusting you to tell them the truth. Be careful. Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he's given us what everyone needs to do to come to the place of salvation. You have to confess out of your own mouth. You have to believe for yourself. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There was a purpose for him going to the cross. And the reason he went to that cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago is to pay a sin debt that you owe and could not pay, and he paid it for you. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That is separation from God. That is eternal separation from God one day. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith to believe that. And you believe it, why? Because the Bible says it. And the Bible is the very words of God. I don't have to rely upon what a man tells me about my eternal security. I don't have to rely upon what a church says about eternal security, because God has preserved his word for all of us so that we might all be able to read exactly what God says. Have faith. It's a word of God, and trust it to be true. And it is true. You have to believe that Jesus died for you, raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation to show your faith. You confess with your mouth. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not had the faith of a child to believe that, if you've not had the trust of a child to accept that, you can't be saved. That's what Jesus was teaching. So he took this opportunity of this little child to say, children are precious to God in God's eyes. And he said, this is why. The faith and the trust of a child brings you to a place of salvation. To be brought to him so that they can experience his blessings. To be brought to him so they can experience his blessings. Raised to know God. When you raise your children to know God, it's a foundational truth for a lifetime of God's blessings upon their life. Raised to know that they are loved. Every child needs to know that they're loved by an eternal God. Raised to know that there is help available whenever there is a need for help. They need to be raised to know that there's a purpose for their lives. Many adults today are in a lot of trouble because they don't know that they don't think anybody loves them. They have no purpose for life. They don't know where to turn to for help. If you bring up a child in the ways that God wants you to bring them up, they will have a lifetime of blessings and understanding this, that heaven is a real destination. There is right and wrong, and it's determined by an almighty creator God who is much higher than any other authority on this earth. God loves children. They can be a blessing. They are meant to be a blessing if they're raised according to his will. Are we doing what God tells us to do? Do we have faith? And do we have trust as a child? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.